Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
We're going to talk this morning about a program that's taking place next Wednesday, the 18th, and it is on adverse childhood experiences. We're going to talk about that and what that is all about today, and we have a number of people to do that. We're going to talk with someone on the phone in just a bit, but in studio with us, back with us, Michelle Wagaman from the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board, Xavier Richardson here from Mary Washington Healthcare and the Mary Washington Hospital Foundation, and Rita Girard with Mental Health America of Fredericksburg is here. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Michelle, I'll start off with you because I was telling you when you first came in, adverse childhood experiences, when you told me about this a couple months ago that this forum was going to take place, I had never heard of adverse childhood experiences. The more I've looked into it, this is it's an important issue.
It absolutely is because it informs public health. It's something that's been around since the 1990s. It started with a joint study from the CDC and Kaiser Permanente, and it was 17,000 adult members of Kaiser Insurance were surveyed about their childhood and their current life. And so they found some common threads. And so adverse childhood experiences, we know, change our biology and affect us as we grow up and into adulthood.
And again, as we go on, we'll talk about this, and we'll talk about what some of these experiences are, but they have lifelong lasting experiences, not only for the individual, but for communities.
Absolutely. And it can actually shorten an individual's lifespan.
Mm. So we'll get into and talk more about that. Xavier Richardson here. Xavier, boy, this is something that the hospital, the Mary Washington Healthcare and the foundation, this as Michelle said, this is an important issue for the community. I can see why you're all involved with this.
Very much so. As she said, it impacts the individual for the rest of his or her life if it's not treated properly or addressed properly. And what we found in the healthcare arena is that it affects the healthy behaviors or unhealthy behaviors that one might engage in, which then in turn will impact other things such as chronic disease and some of the other things that we've addressed in our former seminars. We've had a couple of town hall meetings, one on the opioid epidemic and then one on suicide prevention, and we found that, the root cause of some of these issues for some persons are their ACEs, their adverse childhood experiences, which will continue to follow them, as I said, for the rest of their lives if it's not detected and properly addressed.
This is the third of these town hall meetings that you've had with opioids and suicide prevention. This does really fit nicely into everything, and you really are attacking a lot of real serious issues that do impact us.
Precisely. I consider it to be the root cause of many of these issues. And I first learned of it actually at the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association and was somewhat surprised that we were addressing something of a soft issue nature as opposed to, the hardcore things that most of the time the healthcare systems addressed. And that's where I actually met our first speaker, Dr. Allison Jackson. And now many healthcare systems in Virginia are beginning to learn more about it and participate in a pilot, actually, that Dr. Jackson has worked with. So it's certainly something that we have a keen interest in because we see the profound impact that it has on individuals.
Rita Girard with Mental Health America Fredericksburg, you see all of this all the time. This is up your alley, and I'm sure you're glad to have this another one of these issues coming to the forefront in a town hall setting where everyone can get together and talk about it.
I am excited about this. In fact, I'm more excited about this issue, addressing this issue, than any of the others, because there are studies that have been done. I just read one about a school system who incorporated the building resilience into their school system. And the numbers that they showed between suspensions and expulsions and disciplines just in a year's time period were dramatic. And so there are very concrete things that we can do and things that our therapist, and just all of us as a community can incorporate into building resilience in our community to create a healthy community.
Well, and I guess, Rita, one of the things, too, that a lot of these things, the community addressing them in this kind of a form, so many times, I think in the past, a lot of us looked at these kind of things and just said, just get over it, you know, it's past, get over it. But it's way more than that.
I'm not an expert by any stretch, but from what I understand, changing the vocabulary from what's wrong with you to what happened? What happened to you in your life? And taking that time to listen to somebody and honor them. Because when somebody has felt that they've been listened to, then they can start hearing and they can start healing. And that's what this is all about.
And an ACE score doesn't define an individual. And that's what we want to do as a community. We want to come together, raise awareness. We want to prevent ACE scores for adolescents, but we also want to work with adults who have ACE scores so we as a community can better support them so that we see fewer suicide attempts, we see fewer individuals suffering from depression, we see fewer individuals with chronic health conditions, liver disease, asthma. All of these things can be attributed to toxic stress, and that's what the trauma of adverse childhood experiences cause.
It's no mistake that the three of us are here talking about this because I guess maybe a year ago we were talking about, okay, what are we going to do for our next one? And all three of us said ACEs, and we were in the middle of a party, and we just jumped up and we were so excited about it because we were all in the same place at the same place, because it really does have to do with the root cause of things. And I've experienced it firsthand in my work with young people. It truly does have an impact. I had a young man call me the other day about something traumatic that he had come to realize because something triggered a memory, something he had suppressed, and that was actually sexual assault by a sibling. And what had happened is that his brother came to him and mentioned that he had been sexually abused. And then a day or two later, he realized that he had been sexually abused by that brother. So one of the things we know about ACEs is that sometimes something, whether it's a memory or something familiar or something, will cause that memory to come a flare up, whether it's to be an odor or food or something that is said, and then that brings up things that have been suppressed. And this is what we hope to do by bringing this attention and the awareness to the community, that we can be looking for some of these things that may be at the root cause of a behavior change, or whether it's a behavior in a child or behavior in an adult. It's very real.
Adverse childhood experiences is what we're talking about. It's a town hall next Wednesday, the 18th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Fix Center in Fredericksburg, over at the Mary Washington Hospital Complex. We'll get into the details of the program too as we go along this morning. When we come back, Dr. Allison Jackson, who's the keynote speaker of this, we will talk with her by phone for a bit and continue to talk about what's going to be happening with this program, Adverse Childhood Experiences. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking about adverse childhood experiences this morning. There is a town hall Wednesday, the 18th, next Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Fix Center, and we'll give you all the details on that as we go along this morning. Michelle Wagaman, Xavier Richardson, Rita Girard here, and we are joined on the phone this morning from Chesterfield. Dr. Allison Jackson is going to be the keynote speaker for this event. Dr. Jackson, it is great to meet you and have you on the show for a bit this morning.
I am really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And if people want to learn more about this, you ought to. If you Google Dr. Allison Jackson and you watch, you've got some things on YouTube, and it's just terrific stuff, Dr. Jackson. This whole thing of adverse childhood experiences, explain it, because I was telling you before we went on that to me this is a brand new topic. I had never heard of it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I often say, you know, when we think about public health issues, like most of us have seen commercials about texting while driving, and we hear ads about, you know, don't smoke cigarettes while you're young. Well, adverse childhood experiences is about emotional trauma, and it actually has been named by the Center of Disease Control as the most basic public health issue. It affects 223 million adults in our country, and about 46 million out of 76 million children will witness or experience violence this year. And yet, like you said, we don't know about it. So what is it, I think, is your question. So adverse childhood experiences are things that happen before 18 that we know affect our health, and they usually happen in our home. So they are things like abuse or neglect or witnessing domestic violence or having someone in your home that has gone to jail or prison or having a separation or death of a caregiver, having a mental health challenge of someone in your home, having a substance abuse issue of someone in your home. So if you, there are 10 of them, and if you were counting those in your head, the three types of abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, two types of neglect, physical neglect, I don't have what I need, I'm afraid I don't have a place to sleep tonight or can't eat, emotional neglect, I'm afraid that I'm not loved or wanted in my home, and then the other ones I've described, those are the adverse childhood experiences. And we know that a lot of us have had them, but we have no idea that they affect our health in really important ways.
So what are some of the steps? How does a person seek help, or if I know of someone who might have experienced some of this, how can I reach out and help them?
Absolutely. So I love the question because many of us have heard of first aid, you know, if somebody's having a heart attack, or we can do that. And some of us have heard of mental health first aid. So I know to ask, well, you're kind of asking me the question about resilience first aid. So adversity in childhood is about the trauma that happens, right? And let me just say that, you know, in population health studies, if I've had four of those things happen, I'm 1,500% more likely to attempt suicide. I'm more than 1,100% more likely to use IV drugs. At a six, I'm, you know, more likely to die at the age of 60 instead of 80, right? So then we get to your question of, wow, so what do I do about it? So if you know that you've had some of those lived experiences, then the goal is to build resilience, right? And so what you want to do then is there are three areas, and I'll try to say them quickly. One is self-regulation. So that's basically learning how to press pause, take a breath, learn how to breathe, learn how to slow down, right? And that's something you can do for someone else, a friend. Say, hey, take a breath, slow down. How are you taking care of yourself, right? Another one is sending yourself positive thoughts. We call it positive self-identity. So how do I promote the good thoughts that I have instead of just thinking the bad stuff about myself? And then probably the most important is attachment and connection. And that's my really big push in my TED Talk and on my website is that, you know, the medicine for this is people. This is about community resilience. It's why we're going to have a town hall about it. It's a community conversation. This is not about people necessarily like me with lots of letters behind their name. We're all capable of connecting with another human being. So when someone tells you a hard thing, then you listen and you're there with them and you validate those feelings. And if they need more help, you find someone that is a trauma therapist or connect them with their local community services board or private providers and say, hey, this person really needs to grieve and talk about these losses.
Boy, as you described, just the statistics you gave, that's scary stuff.
It is. And again, what I so appreciate what you said before is I hadn't heard about this until a month ago, Allison. This study is 30 years old, and yet with this and this issue, the CDC has named it as the prime determinant of health. It is the most trafficked page on the CDC's website and the least funded program federally. And so we're not doing a good job of getting this information out, probably because it's hard to talk about, right? But it's like people are dying and having really, you know, the top seven leading causes of death are all connected to adverse childhood experiences. So if I can jump in here and just say briefly that what I want you to think about, this comes from Dr. Nadine Burke, and, you know, if you think about public health, the first rule of doc says is, okay, if I've got, you know, 10 kids drinking out of a well and 9 of them come to me with diarrhea, I can write prescriptions for diarrhea all day long. But if I don't get to that well, I'm going to keep living in diarrhea. And I say diarrhea on purpose because it makes us all uncomfortable, right? Diarrhea. It makes us, we got to react, right?
Yeah, right.
We have
a
lot of health crisis, right? We've got a lot of health crises that's happening, but we're writing prescriptions for diarrhea. And what Fredericksburg is trying to do is get to the well. And that takes all of us.
Well, the fact you've got to be excited that you're getting to be the keynote speaker for this, and that Fredericksburg, the community, is getting together and talking about this.
Yes, and it really is about, you know, resilience. The most simple definition is bouncing back. Well, a lot of people have experienced trauma. We've bounced back because we're still here, you know. But I love the new definition of resilience, which is about thriving and bouncing forward. And I think that's what we're trying to do in partnership with Fredericksburg and Mary Washington and so many others, is how do we help create a thriving community? And I am excited because I want you to think of it like a really important inoculation, like people need to get flu inoculations, right? We're going to talk about what are things that every person in the community can do. And let me tell you, this really affects our schools. It's not just a couple of kids in that neighborhood over there. This crosses all socioeconomic demographics. It crosses all age groups. And we know if we can get kids and healthcare systems when they first touch them, and families and kids in school, man, the results, like we've seen in Washington and California and Philadelphia and so many other places, the results are phenomenal. I mean, we are lowering people's average ACE scores below 3 in other states. We call it next generation health, right? And that means the next generation isn't going to have a lot of the health issues we have today.
Well, that's interesting, because a lot of times we don't, as you describe these things, you don't think of these issues as a health issue necessarily.
Yes.
But you've described it, it certainly is.
Absolutely. It's a health issue. And so that's why we've got to take it out of stigma. You know, mental health has still a stigma in and of itself. Trauma certainly has one. And what we've got to do is say, you know, this is about Dr. Onda, one of the primary investigators in the ACEs study. He says, you know, what's predictable is preventable. And I love that statement, is that if we know this is a health issue, the first rule of public health is you got to know you have the risk. I myself, out of the 10, have 8. I grew up in, and I will talk about my personal story in the town hall, I grew up in and out of residential facilities, attempted suicide multiple times, and no one ever talked to me about what was going on in my home. No one knew. And it wasn't until this one mental health tech who had no background in mental health and for many was considered a babysitter in that facility actually took the time to connect with me and talk to me. And he taught me how to exercise and get out some of my anger that way and listen to my story. And he was the reason I'm not in a jail institution or dead today, was that connection, that moment of being with me. And that's what we want to teach other people how to do.
Boy, Dr. Jackson, what an inspirational story you've got to be, because I would have never guessed that. I would have thought, here's something. I just, in talking to you, you've got it together and you're able to analyze this, but you don't really understand my problems. Just that little bit, you certainly do.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we want to talk about is, we know that about two-thirds of the population has had at least one of these things happen. And if you've had one happen, it's an 85% chance you've had two happen. So what that means is you can't look to the left or the right of you and not know someone that's experienced trauma. But a lot of people like me never talked about it, because we don't talk about that stuff. We don't talk about it. And we need to talk about it, because it's affecting our community.
Boy, and the fact that Fredericksburg is taking the time to talk about it and to start the conversation and continue the conversation, are our communities like Fredericksburg, or is this kind of unique right now?
Well, I would say that I think Fredericksburg is on what I call the bleeding edge. So I would say, you know, I get to travel the country nationally and internationally, and this work in Virginia, I would say, started about 5 or 6 years ago. So we've got communities like Richmond and Culpeper, Lynchburg, Roanoke, probably about 7 or 8 communities in Virginia that have really started trying to have the community conversation. Only 2 of them, Petersburg and Richmond, have actually had ACEs summits to have the community conversation. So to my knowledge, Fredericksburg is the 3rd. So you all in Fredericksburg are really on the cutting edge to have this conversation. Nationally, many states are still trying to do this work. It's funny, I travel and try to bring things back to Virginia and Fredericksburg. But it's funny, because lately I've had states, I'm flying out to Iowa in a couple weeks, and they're like, man, we want to hear what's going on in Virginia. So I get very proud of my home state to see things like what's happening in Fredericksburg, to say, hey, we're willing to take this out to the public and have this conversation and have this be a collaborative approach for every person. So I think Fredericksburg is really on the bleeding edge of this, and I could not be more excited to partner with all the folks in Fredericksburg to have this as a town hall. And I have to say, Fredericksburg is the first place that's done it as a town hall. So that's really exciting.
Wow. Well, this is going to be a dynamic program. Wednesday, the 18th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Fix Center. And if you want to hear more with Dr. Allison Jackson, you can do that on next Wednesday night, the 18th. Dr. Jackson, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. What a great issue that it's being talked about and that you're able to add to this. And it'll be great to have you in the community.
Thank you so much. And I just want to kind of leave us with you. We all have a role in community resilience. Thank you for serving your role this morning and for supporting us in this really important effort. I can't wait to see everyone.
Dr. Allison Jackson, integrationsolutions.org, if you want to check out her website. And again, if you go to YouTube, you can see some TED Talks there that just fantastic stuff. Thank you, Dr. Jackson, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds great.
It is Adverse Childhood Experiences at the Fix Center, Wednesday the 18th, 6:30 to 8:30. More coming up. We will continue this conversation with those in studio here, Michelle Wagaman, Xavier Richardson, and Rita Girard here. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Adverse Childhood Experiences, ACE, is our focus this morning. It's a town hall Wednesday the 18th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Fix Center. The program actually begins right at 6:30 to 8:30 is the program. If you want to get there and have refreshments and that kind of thing, that starts at 6. Michelle Wagaman, Xavier Richardson, Rita Girard all here this morning talking about it. We were just talking. I mean, what a great partnership between the Community Services Board and Mental Health America and the Mary Washington Hospital Foundation and Mary Washington Healthcare. This is pretty special here to get you three together and have you all working on this.
Indeed, it's been a great partnership. For many years, Mary Washington Healthcare as a nonprofit entity has been seeking ways to engage the community, and we had several different organizations and entities that tried to address health-related issues, but they really didn't get to the core of addressing contemporary issues. So we decided we would do something a little different. After our community health needs assessment, we would work with some of our community partners because for so long, a lot of healthcare, particularly as what we were trying to do in terms of physical health, we thought that we were solely responsible for it. But recent studies have shown that 80% of the things that determine healthy outcomes are outside of things that the hospital is involved with. It's things that these other organizations are involved with. So we sought a way to partner with them. So we said, why don't we have some town hall meetings and at least twice a year on some contemporary issues? And so when we worked with our community partners, it just took on a whole new direction in terms of how we would do it. Instead of us thinking that we had to address all these issues and fund all these issues, instead we came to the experts and we just forged a real partnership where the synergistic effect of it is much greater than all of the different organizations operating in silos. And this is, as we said, one of three, and it's been a great, great partnership.
But I think one of three is the key words right here, because this is not, it's not just, you know, RACSB, Mary Washington Healthcare, Mental Health America, Fredericksburg. It's United Way. It's the Department of Social Services. It's our law enforcement. It's our school districts. It's the health department. It's community foundation. It's private citizens who all want this community. Our goal is to build a healthy community. And we're doing it. And we're in the infant stages of an organization that we've just named Be Well Rappahannock. It's a newly formed collaboration with a number of stakeholders, public defenders, Commonwealth attorneys.
Pediatricians.
Yeah, right. It's just, it's amazing. But people that know and that if we all get in the same boat right. and we all row the same
exactly.
way, I've said that for the last 2 years, we can change this community, and it's happening.
Those organizations that address those 80% of the social indicators that address healthy outcomes is
well,
great.
And as we were talking with Dr. Jackson, and as we just in talking here, Michelle, it occurred to me that not too long ago, these would have been issues that would have been on the everybody would have looked to the community services board. Well, they'll handle it some way, and just like the hospital felt like they had to do their thing. To have all this collaboration is really special.
Yes, and the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board is a trauma-informed organization. It's something that all new employees learn about, and it's something that our clinicians and case managers and everyone practice when they interact with individuals in the community, is to understand. And the question, as Rita said earlier, is not what's wrong with you, it's what happened to you. We know what is predictable is preventable. We know a great example is child safety seats. We know if children are secured in child safety seats properly installed in the cars, you know, the outcome of a car accident will be less and the children will be safe. It's the same with ACEs. We know that they're common, they're interrelated, and as we as a community can work to prevent individuals from experiencing these traumas, the better and more healthy our community will be.
Well, and Xavier, for you, as we've talked about some of these, and you mentioned it, I mean, your work with kids and what you do just individually on your own, you've seen this, I'm sure, for years.
For about 30 years. In fact, what I typically do with a young person or an adult who comes to me, I always say, tell me your story. And they say, I don't have a story. What is my story? I say, tell me your background. And then I ask them to tell me about the conversations that they're having with themselves, because that helps to reveal that part of their story that they're not addressing. And then they may tell me some basic things. And my job is to basically give them a different perspective on things and to help them to see it from a different light, which often relieves them. But then I always push them. And I said, okay, tell me the things that you have not told me. Tell me the things that you have never told anyone in your life. Because you may have told me 95% of the things, but the 5% of those things that you're not telling me may be controlling 95% or more of your pain, and is at the root cause of the things that you're doing. And the important thing is to build that relationship. As you said, that's part of the resilience plan. But for this generation, I think it's also not only someone that you can depend upon, an adult, but most importantly, someone that you can trust. This generation often they're skeptical about trusting adults. And I understand why often, because if you've suffered from many of these things, then it's hard for you to trust anyone. And so once I build that trust, they will tell me these things. And then I will find later that they will also help to identify other children who are in crisis, other children who are having ACEs issues, and will then contact me and trust me to intervene. But the other thing that I've noticed is that even after I have them take the survey, I have to look over it often, and I said, wait a minute, here's one more thing. Then you did it's two more things. So whatever that preliminary score is, it's usually another one or two things that oftentimes they've suppressed, they've forgotten, or they've forgotten the impact of it.
You know, one of the things that Dr. Jackson talks about, and she quotes Brené Brown, in regard to vulnerability, that's how we heal. And my story, I'll keep it really brief, but I think it was my 14th counselor that I went to. And she said, have you ever been to counseling before? And I counted up and I said, well, you're number 14. And then we talked. And she asked about my childhood. I said it was normal. Told her about my dad, who when I was 7, he had what they called a nervous breakdown. And I watched that. And then he went away to the state hospital where he had electroshock therapy. Brought back in the mantra in my family was, don't upset your father. And she said, well, that's not normal. And what happened for me is that it began, not just for me, but my entire family, a lifelong of stuffing and not sharing. And when I finally got to that place of going, wait a minute, that was probably pretty traumatic, and looking at it, it didn't change the event. But then what I could do was that I didn't hide it. I didn't wallow in it. Well, I did, I guess, for a while. But then I did build resilience. I learned that there are things that could happen by building connection and being vulnerable and finding out that there is a way to heal. And so I think for all of us, until we get over that stigma and that shame and that we choose to be vulnerable, that's when we can let go and that's when the true healing can begin. And so that's my hope for this community and for every person that I touch.
The fact that you can look at situations and have a score, I mean, that kind of, at least at the, you can, you know, do that on your own, but at least in your own mind, then you kind of know, maybe I do need some help.
Yes, and it's a tool. It's not an assessment or an evaluation, and it doesn't define the individual, but it is a resource so that they can get additional help. And they can also break the cycle. ACEs are intergenerational. And so they can look and say, this happened to me as a child. It wasn't my fault, but I can help control this and prevent this from happening for my children or my grandchildren.
Boy, you just think, Xavier, you think of what of people attacking these things and like Rita's story, getting a hold of these things, what it can mean to just the mental health and just the whole health of a community.
Exactly. And the more we have people like Rita sharing their respective stories, it allows others to realize that, hey, I didn't have such a normal background, or there's nothing wrong with addressing this. I'm not the only person. And that's what I find oftentimes with young people. You know, sometimes I have to give them a litany of possibilities that they may have encountered, and then I can see them shaking their head or biting their lip, then I know that that's one of the things. But they don't think that is an issue, because unfortunately in some communities it's the norm, and they just think that this is what you're supposed to do, or a parent is telling them that, hey, you're supposed to shake it off, particularly when you think about young men who aren't supposed to display emotions or talk about emotional things, or not supposed to cry and things like this. So this is also going to help others. The more the community is informed about this, the more everyday people can recognize these things and refer people for help. And perhaps even change their own actions and reactions towards people.
Because normal isn't necessarily healthy.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Everybody has a different normal. Right. But the goal would be what's healthy.
Right, exactly.
If you think of children who live in conditions where they are food insecure or housing insecure, and there's violence and that constant state that they're in, they're always hypervigilant. They can't go sit in a classroom and focus. They're always in that fight or flight mode. And that's not healthy for our development. It's toxic stress that affects our organs and then our ability to have relationships and maintain jobs as adults.
Yeah, no, this is more than just working through things. When you start hearing that there's physically, you could be cutting your life shorter, or there are physical ailments that can come from all of this.
Exactly, and things in your life will change. I have a perfect example of a young man who just got into UVA. He lives in Petersburg, but he suffered a lot of trauma in his life and was living with his grandmother. And then we were actually dealing with some of the things that he needed to do in order to get his financial aid for UVA. And he was so hyper and he was so upset, but we were on the telephone. But then later on, when he calmed down, I realized that his father takes the food stamps that his grandmother has for the household, and then somehow her Social Security check was cut off, and she had to use all the money that she had to pay the rent, so they hadn't been eating. And this young man was actually the MVP for his football team, and we found out that he kept getting injured. Why? Because he was food deprived, and his bones kept breaking because he didn't have enough to eat, and that was so important to him. So there's so many different connections. So that's why it's so important to be able to connect with people, whether it's young people or an adult, and everybody have an opportunity to share those things with someone who's a caring person who can respond to them.
Well, and I know that the town hall meetings that you've had on with opioids and suicide prevention have been well attended, have been great events, but this one really, really impacts all of us. Those are more specialized, even though they both affect such a big part of the community. But boy, this includes all of us.
I love Dr. Jackson's analogy of the well. You know, 9 out of 10 kids get diarrhea when they drink from the well. Keep treating the kid, but don't take care of the well. Mm-hmm. This, for me, is we can take care of the well. We can clean up the well.
Yeah, no, I can see now why when the three of you came up with this as an idea, that this was there was some excitement, because this communities are looking at it as Dr. Jackson mentioned, but maybe not even to the extent that we are here with the town hall and all.
And Virginia is increasing its focus on adverse childhood experiences. There are 8 of the 40 community services boards and Rappahannock Area Community Services Board being one of them that have been selected to be an initial cohort. And we were trained by ACE Interface with Dr. Robert Anda, who was the CDC principal study. Mm-hmm. So this is a conversation that our community will continue to have after April 18th. There will be other opportunities to bring this information to organizations and community members who are interested through a 2-hour training that RECSB will offer.
We will wrap this up when we come back, and we'll give more information again and give you all the information of what's going to be happening on the 18th. It is Adverse Childhood Experiences, ACEs. Rita Gerard, Xavier Richardson, Michelle Wagaman here this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Adverse childhood experiences are our focus this morning. It is the town hall meeting on April the 18th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Fix Center. Rita Gerard with Mental Health America of Fredericksburg. Here's Xavier Richardson with Mary Washington Healthcare, and Michelle Wagaman with the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board here. The flyer that you all have at the top says building a resilient community. But that's a great kind of an overarching theme of this whole thing. And in all of these programs that you've done with opioids and suicide prevention and now this. Michelle, why don't you run down some of the details that people need to know about the program next week.
Sure. It's Wednesday, April 18th. It's going to start from 6:30, and we've scheduled it for 2 hours. It's going to be interactive with Dr. Allison Jackson, who we heard from earlier. You can tell she's passionate about this topic. It's at the Fix Center, so that's at 1301 Sam Perry Boulevard. So it's behind the Moss Clinic on the Mary Washington Healthcare Campus. It's free. You don't have to register, and it's open for everyone. We hope teachers, parents, pediatricians, physicians, social workers, guidance counselors, everyone comes out and attends.
Yeah, as we talked, you think about especially teachers and parents, what a valuable resource this is and that night will be.
And I'd also encourage professionals, HR managers, anyone with an interest in your coworkers, your neighbors who want to be a part of this important conversation.
Exactly. I've told people, I say anyone who has children, who loves children, works with children, or has ever been a child should attend.
So, everyone
should attend.
That's awesome.
Well, and Rita, this again is another one of these kind of topics that Mental Health America Fredericksburg has been dealing with over the years. It's more so we're talking about it more out in the open now, but there still is that. And Dr. Jackson mentioned there's still sometimes with mental health. The feeling of, I'd rather not talk about this.
Well, right. People are shamed, they feel shame about whatever it is that they're going through. One of the programs that we have is a helpline. And oftentimes people actually walk in our door to try to seek some mental health resources. And I had one, a person come into my office yesterday, and typically it's giving them some resources, but I just felt compelled to, ask about their story. So what happened? What happened to you? And it's like, then I thought, oh, you are in over your head, girlfriend, because you are not a mental health professional. But you don't need to be a mental health professional. That's the whole point of building a resilient community. It didn't take me more than 5 minutes to invest time to sit down and actually speak with this person and have them feel honored that somebody cared enough to ask. And so what if we all did that on a daily basis and that just became a habit of our behavior? It will change our world. So yes, I do see it in my world in Mental Health America. But I see it in my home, in my neighborhood, and the places that I go. So,
but that's the thing when Kathy Anderson will come in from Empower House and we'll talk, she talks just about the statistics of abuse and the 1 in 4 women, and you look around your neighborhood and you think, how prevalent that is. This is the same way. As we've talked this morning, I've just thought about that we're working, we all are working and living around people.
And ACEs are everyone. It's not one neighborhood. It's not one gender or race or socioeconomic. It is across the board. It affects everyone.
We all don't have perfect. Nobody's got a perfect score, I guess.
There's no such thing as perfection.
Yeah, yeah.
And or so normal.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
So you've done opioid suicide prevention and now adverse childhood experiences. Do you have another town hall planned in the future or anything?
Well, we're going to have
about?
To go to another party.
Another party.
We have to brainstorm.
Only the three of you could go to a party and figure this out. But no, this we really are fortunate to have something like this. In the community, in all three of you. I mean, I'm honored to have the three of you. As we've sat here talking, I've just thought, just the partnerships you've developed, and each of you have such passion, and you've got connections in your own world.
Exactly. But not only that, but we have outstanding organizations in our community. We're very, very blessed to have so many organizations addressing so many different issues and doing it in such a great way, because, I mean, this could have been catastrophic in itself to try to bring three or four different organizations that would have been territorial instead of the way things worked out here, where everyone realizes that we need to seek partnerships in order for us to achieve our respective missions, and no one can do it alone. So we're very fortunate in that respect.
So we're very fortunate. I feel very fortunate that there are three main organizations here in this community who have the financial backing that they can support these issues, because that's certainly not my organization. I just go along for the ride but throw in my two cents. Yeah. But the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board, the Rappahannock United Way, and Mary Washington Healthcare, they have been the backbone of being able to put the financial resources in to get us started. And now when we've built this Be Well Rappahannock Council, now we have other organizations who are, when you shifting gears back to your question, what's the next issue? Our Be Well Rappahannock Council are the people who are going to help us make that determination.
Wednesday, April the 18th, 6:30 to 8:30, Adverse Childhood Experiences at the Fix Center. It is a free program. And you will want to be there. Dr. Jackson, who we talked to by phone for a little bit this morning, will be the keynote speaker. Thank you to Michelle Wagaman, Xavier Richardson, and Rita Girard. Yeah, thank you guys so much, and see you soon.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
That is it. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.